This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
That is right. We are live. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in. We are inside Shell Shack in Mesquite, and we'd love to invite you. 1335 North Peachtree Road. Live crawfish is back.
What?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
We're
10
back.
Bucks a pound.
Sir.
So, you know, Broadus is in heaven right now. I think he crushed 3 pounds already.
3 pounds already, man. Wow. I'll tell you what, good size to him. They're going to get a little bit bigger as the season wears along, but flavor here was outstanding. He had the Cajun. They do a great job with that whole bit, the boil, the seasoning, the service. Get you a side of corn, get you some andouille sausage. Quite a meal.
Man, that sounds delicious.
He wasn't even peeling it. He was just eating the shell and everything.
I miss crawfish so much that I just started literally tossing them in my – I was like – and just crunching and spit out.
You're like, num. Shell Shack's the place to be.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anywhere in DFW, we thank them for having us out once again. They're open to 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Shellshack.com. And anyone that comes today will be entered to win dinner for four up to $100 value.
Whoa.
Just ask your server for details there. We're going to get into some things Jerry said earlier today. There's a hell of a irresponsible Cowboys rumor out there that's just hilarious. There's a Mavs rumor. We'll address that as well. But Jerry asked about Mike McCarthy and, you know,
on
the idea of him saving his job. He's genuine, no BS with the players. I've never thought for a second that the team had quit recognizing what an outstanding coach he is. Quality of character.
Yep.
Steady as a rock.
Sure.
A lot of good things. So you're still throwing up the donut, though, Brian?
I'm still throwing the donut, and I'll tell you why. Mike McCarthy, yes, you can have your job. You are no longer the play caller, though.
Yeah.
The minute you tell me that, no, I want to stay on as the play caller, I'm going somewhere else.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm going to say I'm still going. I'll go donut, but, okay, if it starts to turn into interview Mike McCarthy or talk about Mike McCarthy coming back, fine with Mike McCarthy coaching the team. Fine with Mike McCarthy getting them to Sunday, sometimes Monday. But if you're the primary play caller, I'm going a different direction. That's my stipulation for Mike McCarthy coming back.
Yes, and if that would happen, I think I would be overall satisfied because I just don't trust the Joneses to do a proper coaching search. I think you limit your upside a lot, but I think Mike McCarthy is going to make you a steadier playoff team than you were under Jason Garrett.
Oh, yes. He already has.
Yeah,
it's an upgrade from Jason Garrett for sure. And
I would keep my fingers crossed they got the right OC, Chief.
Yeah, that's the big thing. It's will Mike McCarthy have any say in who that person would be? Would you even trust the Cowboys to go identify that guy? Or would it just be another kind of old school recycled name? I don't know, but that is a guarantee 100%. If you want to keep all as much continuity as possible, but the one just inarguable fact is it cannot be your offense, and you are just a CEO walk-around head coach now.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
Like, you don't need to be worried about anything as it pertains to what we got going on here offensively, but go ahead and be the CEO. And keep Mike Zimmer, and that defense might be able to grow. Like, I can see the Cowboys convincing themselves.
I might talk to Bob Sala, though, if defensive coordinator. I might do that.
Well, okay, what do you think about Bob as compared to Zim? Zim's your guy, Brian. That's interesting.
I like Mike Zimmer a lot. I just, you know, and I think Mike's done an admirable job, you know. But I to me, these coaching searches, at least talk to dudes. Go out there and interview Bob Sala. Maybe you find something different. You know, maybe he comes up with a plan. You know, maybe it's not all of a sudden Mike McCarthy coming up in week 13, week 14, going, wow, you know what? We need to use Overshown more as a pass rusher here.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this for a month.
No, you have.
Two months. Mm-hmm. You know, why does a guy with a camera and a microphone get to sit here and say, wow, I wonder if they used Overshown? Why are we not thinking about that at the start?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So to me, if you're not thinking about that right now and all of a sudden week 14, we're like, oh, well, maybe we should. Maybe you need to talk to Bob Sala. Maybe you need to talk to some – just take – listen, there's nothing wrong with talking to dudes. There's nothing wrong with talking with dudes.
Sure. Yeah,
maybe,
for sure.
Okay. Let me pick somebody's brain.
Already,
bring Bob Sala in here and go, hey, listen, tell me about what you think about our defense. When you watch our defense, what would you do different?
Yeah.
You know? You're asking him questions. You know, and maybe he shows you something a little bit different than what maybe Zimmer was offered. I love Mike Zimmer.
He's no spring chicken, though.
Yeah. I love Mike. Mike also loves his horses in Lexington, Kentucky right now. He's kind of like doing the stuff. He's got maybe a horse that can run the Derby.
Cool.
I mean, that kind of thing. So, you know, I love what Mike's done, but what's the problem with talking with all these guys? What's the problem with bringing in
guys? Okay, so here's how I would answer that, and sorry to cut you off, Chief.
No,
I know you're waiting to get in here, but I feel like they have progress going with Zim. If it fails massively and you give up like 240 burgers
between now and the end of the year, you did that to start the season.
I know, but we also know that Zim's defenses have never taken hold until year two with his teams.
I'm still talking with Bob Sala and those other guys. Anybody that got let go that I kind of have a little bit. I might even talk to some college dudes. You know what I'm saying? I might just, you know, hey, you know, I might look at this. Look what that guy Mentor's done out there with the Chargers. Came in from Michigan.
Yeah.
Look what he's done. There's some really good young coaches.
Packers. You've got way too much faith in this organization. What makes you think in any way, shape, or form they'd do any of what we're talking about?
You know why? Because I'm talking it into existence.
Yeah, there he goes.
But just because,
because
5 weeks ago our show talked about, hey, maybe you should make Overshown a poor man's Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden it's like, man, we need to.
Well,
the guy's got 21 pressures. What has told you not to? I mean, what kept you? What kept you? You watch the guy. He's an athlete. He's a freak. He's out there, like, knocking passes in the air, rushing people, coming around on twists, running down dudes on the sidelines.
Yep.
Come on, man. It's week 14. Why would we now just figure that out?
And I agree with you 100%. I mean, that was some stuff we heard that they liked about him coming out of Texas. Now, that was Dan Quinn and that defensive regime.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a little bit of Mike Zimmer got to figure out, okay, what is the skill level of some of these guys getting used to him? I know when we talked with him out in camp, he didn't know Daron Bland had to play in the slot during his rookie year. He was like, I've only seen him play outside, and I thought he was really awesome there.
Zimmer's learned about this defense as he's going along.
I think that certainly helped.
But if you're in a coaching search, learn.
See, I think Jerry Jones needs to start consulting Brian.
Yeah.
You know,
last time they cared about what I said was 2005, and they really didn't care about it then.
Is that kind of energy and take why they fired you?
They hated me because I was too outspoken.
But that's
why that's what they need.
And that's why you don't think that ultimately they'd hire a Belichick, right? Because Bill's going to come in, and they're going to interview him, and he's going to say, here's what's wrong with your structure.
Yeah.
Here's what's wrong with your organization. Yeah. And they don't want to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, that's Cowboys' passion. You know, that's desire for winning. That's, hey, guys, let's have honest conversations and not have our feelings and comfort involved.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's because of that. And I think Brian working in the media makes him more tuned in to all of the things that you would be looking for.
There's people over
there
that hate me, and I'm cool with that. You know, I have no problem. I just want to see them playing playoff caliber championship football.
Amen.
You know, I want to see them, I mean, I've had my day in the sun. I want to see, like, fan base being able to, like, experience, like, going to a championship game, going to a Super Bowl, being a winning part of that. Hell, we saw it with the damn Rangers.
Yeah, it's
incredible.
You know,
we saw what that could do for the whole city.
Yeah.
But this fan base deserves that. 30 years of kind of not getting it done? No.
Yeah, yeah.
But you owe it to yourself to interview. If you're going to do a coaching search, talk to everybody. Don't just sit there and have a couple of cocktails with Mike McCarthy and call it a day.
Have a slumber party and boom, here we go. That's our coach.
So are you talking about Robert Saleh as your head coach, or are you talking about him as your defensive coordinator?
Bob Saleh might be a defensive coordinator if in fact I keep Mike McCarthy around.
Right.
I'm just going to interview him.
Hey,
if you're going to keep McCarthy and you're thinking about, they might love Zimmer, but you know what? On the side, I'd have Will McClay go talk to. I would go talk to these guys.
And I'll know something about that Shanahan offense, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
It seems like the whole league does now. Oh, wow. I mean, when you look at what the Niners got going. But I think that I'm with you on 100% of all that. But when you hire Robert Saleh, you're hiring probably a one-year DC who parlays it back into now he's going back to being a head coach.
Yeah, but
that guy. Zimmer could be your Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
He's not a head coach anymore. He's just a full-on defensive dude, and you know that you've got that now steady force, assuming that you respect what he's doing and it doesn't bottom out as we close out the season and all that kind of stuff. Fair criticism on Overshown and probably a handful of other things of, hey, late to the party on some of this stuff. Do you give some grace for, like Walchuk mentioned, familiarizing himself, dealing with a bunch of injuries, can't bite off more than we can chew defensively here. We got to kind of shrink things down a little bit. Boom, we get Micah back. Now all of a sudden the opportunity's open for Overshown and stuff. I think there's credit to be had there. But if you
100%.
Like Zimmer, I just love the idea of having a steady force maybe for the next half decade in a perfect world all of a sudden now, Mike Zimmer, and you never have to worry about a team poaching him because he's your DC. He's your Spags.
Bob Saleh get another job?
Robert Saleh's getting another job. Now, if it's
I don't know about
he will
that.
Be another head coach, 100%.
Yeah, he's young enough where he's going to get another opportunity.
1,000,000%. Dude, everybody knows that the Jets were a disaster, and everything that touches them
You don't think he had a
crumbles.
Hand in that as a head coach?
They've been considerably worse without him since they fired him.
I'm just saying.
On defense, they have.
Right.
Your quarterback's not any good there. Let's be honest that.
I mean, I don't know that there's really anybody that can take that dumpster fire over right now and win.
Did we think that Steve Spagnuolo, even at Kansas City, was going to get another job? No. I kind of felt like, this guy's won Super Bowls. Nobody's knocking on his door.
Right. No, but that's exactly the point. The one issue is, though, then you need to figure out.
No, my point is nobody's hiring one of the best defensive coaches in the league.
That's Eric's point, that Zim's going to be the Spagnuolo. Well, nobody's going to hire him again.
I'm saying maybe Bob Saleh might be that guy.
I think Bob's going to end up, just because of the youth factor here, I do think down the line he could end up getting another chance at this thing as a head coach. I don't know if it'll be as quick as a year, but I do think that he's young enough.
What if it's here?
Could be.
All right. Great conversation, gentlemen. We're live at Shell Shack in Mesquite. A lot going on in the world of sports today. The rumor that I teased is a hilarious headline, Marca.com. Is this Spanish? I think it's
Marca
out of Spain.
Sounds very Spanish.
M-A-R-S-A? It's a European rumor.
It's
Risky Factory. Marca, not Marca.
No,
okay,
I'm talking about
is it the Woj of European?
No.
Rumors?
It's more like
Marca bombs.
Yeah, it's more Marca like bombs. Like tabloids, like sports tabloids.
Oh, let's get spicy.
You know, I know them from all their soccer rumors that they threw out there.
The Wags,
and they hit about 10% of the time. But the headline that got conversation going on Cowboys Twitter: Jerry Jones contemplates dumping Dak Prescott as Deion Sanders' arrival is expected soon. That's actually out there.
That's outstanding.
So that's pretty awesome what can pass as journalism.
You said 10%, huh?
Yeah.
It might be lower.
Maybe 0.1%. Okay, you have the Mavs chatter as far as trades going on. Didn't get to it yesterday with all the football content, but apparently teams are calling about Lively and Gafford. I think trading either one of these guys would be a horrific mistake.
Hell no. I'm not interested in that. I can go ahead and give up
Giannis?
Some depth, but I don't want to give up Lively's untouchable.
Giannis?
You're not touching Lively.
Sure, Giannis.
For Giannis, Gafford I'm open to. You're not touching Lively.
Giannis?
Giannis, of
you
course.
You wouldn't trade Lively for Giannis,
yes,
bro?
Yes,
as part of the package. As part of the package.
We need a drug test.
Yes, you would. Lively.
Or, and a
not moving him.
And a trip to the mental hospital.
Not moving Lively.
Send this man to Arkham.
Not moving him. You got enough pieces that are tantalizing out there. I'm not moving Derek Lively.
Oh, my gosh. I mean.
That's your boy.
The Lady Falcone vibes on this guy right now are just through
the roof.
He's
about to gas the room.
Derek Lively is the future.
Derek Lively over Giannis?
You can trade Gafford. That's fine. I'm not trading Derek Lively.
Oh, thank you. All right. Hey, guys. Hey, Milwaukee, you cool with taking Gafford?
Sorry, I love me some Derek Lively, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
No, and you shouldn't, because I love him too.
No, you clearly don't. You want to get him out of here.
Have you been giving yourself more shots than you're supposed to be giving yourself?
Greek freak,
no,
bro.
Just one. Yeah. I'd love me some Giannis, but I think part of the interest for me is I want to pair him with Derek Lively. All right. Sorry for wanting to have my cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys go bleep yourselves?
Is there any
way you think Nico can be creative enough to keep Lively and still trade for Giannis?
No.
Shame on all three of you.
You got three number ones you can trade. Is there any way we can get this done without including Lively?
I think absolutely.
Speaking
into existence, right, Brian?
Yeah. There you go.
Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go.
You know what? I'm trying my best. I really am.
I mean, if the Panthers can get a fourth round pick for Mingo, I think anything's on the table.
Okay, so the Mavs are in action.
Let's not
tonight.
Limit ourselves. They're in Memphis.
Just send Jerry over to Milwaukee real quick. Let him do the deal, and then you're probably getting him for Maxi Kleba.
Man, if that could happen, that would be incredible. I'd definitely be willing to give up Lively for Giannis. But Giannis is in a very short list of players that I'd be willing to give up, because I think the combination of having those two guys,
huge.
You only have to play them 24 minutes.
Right. Stupid.
But Giannis is still helping you in the paint. Just
Giannis
completely
down. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As a defender, 100%. He's incredible.
You give me defense and rim protection from my forward that's better than the center. Yes, obviously that one's a no-brainer.
My 19, 20-year-old guy's on the injured list every night.
Yeah.
Seems like.
Oh, there you go. Hey, that's a good pushback right there.
Milwaukee's not going to want him.
Would you be willing to part with Quentin Grimes, Wolchuk? I'm sorry, Markieff Morris? Would that be okay with you?
Everyone else is okay.
Does Morris even have a uniform? I watch him on the bench.
I don't know.
It's kind of like he's kind of got his own sweat attire he wears.
Yeah.
But does he have a uniform on underneath that?
I can't confirm that he does. That's for sure.
I kind of feel like he goes to Rally House, gets his clothes, and comes to the game.
You know, you make a good point. He's a glue guy. I don't know that you can spare him.
Yeah.
Rangers have a deal with free agent catcher Kyle Higashioka. So congrats
Higashioka.
To them. Higashioka.
Wow.
Stars Casey DeSmith.
Good job.
34 saves in a win over Utah. So congrats to them. And it looks like the convention center is going to get a $15 million facelift here ahead of the 2026 World Cup, which is just right around the corner.
So the convention center, though, to Dallas, isn't that where the Wings are now playing?
I think that deal might have fallen through.
Oh, geez. Pay attention, Brian.
I was talking with Walt about that the other day. He's all over that beat.
Yeah,
you know, he is.
Did I miss that? I'm sorry. God,
I'm not sure. I might have misspoken. You know, but
I thought the Wings were playing there. I was going to hopefully go to a game or two.
Okay, we have the G Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. What are we doing next, Zach?
All right, we got coaches on the hot list. Should we bleep can these guys or give them more time? That's next.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
All right, welcome back. We are live at Shell Shack in Mesquite. And if you'd like to join us, you can meet all of us. You can also meet Polo and Garland,
who
just walked through. He told us if we came out to his neck of the woods, he would join us. And he has. He brought the 2016 G-Bag Nation flag.
Look at that retro, baby.
Yeah, that's cool. So, join us here. It's right off Peachtree Road in Mesquite, just off of 635 down here on their restaurant row by the movie theaters and all that, just south of 30. Okay. We know Mike McCarthy's seat is under heavy pressure, but just how hot is it? We'll get the answer to that here in just a second. Look at other NFL head coaches who might be on the hot seat there. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. And here's Wolchuk.
All right, so our guy Bill Barnwell has his list of the coaches on the hot seat right now. Now, the question is, do we want to go ahead and bleep can these guys, wave goodbye, or say, okay, no, give them some more time. They need it. We begin in the Big Apple, the NFC's rival, the New York Football Giants, Brian Daboll.
Bye-bye.
They're 2-10. You bleep canning them right now?
Yeah. Yeah, we're bleep cannon. I'm cleaning house. That's GM.
Everyone,
that's everybody.
Everyone's getting out of there.
We have to start anew, and it's tough. I do have respect for Daboll as an offensive mind. I think he would be a nice OC pickup for a team, perhaps. But no, I think you gotta clean house.
How about this one?
What if Mike, him and Dave's are good buddies, and He says, all right, come on over. I'm going to stay as head coach of the Cowboys. Brian Daboll, you can be my offense coordinator.
That might be a Belichick hire right there. You know, he worked in New England.
Would absolutely be a Belichick hire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Instead of
McDaniels.
McDaniels.
Or Joe Judge slash Pat Patricia.
Judge, Bill Butchin, those guys. You know,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd prefer Daboll out of all those names.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think, but a combination of the toxicity, the finger pointing, the losing, not getting anything out of your quarterback, I'm just totally sold he's not head coach material. And it's fine. You know, there's plenty of guys that do great if they can be in their own, not having to deal with the media, not having to address the whole team and keep track of all this stuff. They can be amazing coordinators.
Yeah. Just bad head coaches.
Yeah.
How about Antonio Pierce with the Raiders? They're 2-10. It's his first full season as the head coach, which really good. Seemed like he had turned things around there as the interim coach last year at this time.
Yeah, so did Rich Bisaccia. Not then in well.
I would argue Antonio Pierce, you give him more time. Not one and done. You'll wait and see what they do with the draft. Do they end up taking, you know, Shedeur Sanders? Do they take one of these other quarterbacks that are available? Maybe it's a Cam Ward. Who knows? I don't think it'll be Carson Beck, but I would give Antonio Pierce some more time. I don't think 1 year is fair to just give this guy the pink slip already.
Yeah, I think anytime it's a 1 year situation, you can always pretty much unequivocally make the argument to let the guy, you know, stay around a little bit. He's 0-1 on his OC hire, bringing in Luke Getsy from Chicago, making just absolutely no sense whatsoever there. So I would need to have some serious conversations about Antonio Pierce, especially because it's like, hey, if a Belichick wants to come here, Brady's my owner now, right? At least in some ways. So what type of influence does he have here? Can I get Belichick? Yes, I want Bill Belichick over Antonio Pierce. Call me crazy.
But
okay?
they went that
you're
route.
Crazy.
They've already gone that route. And how do you convince Mark Davis? They got the GM from New England. And then they went and got Josh McDaniels. Remember, that ended badly.
Right, yeah.
How much do you want to go back to that well?
That's it. Well, you're kind of doing it with Brady being a part of your ownership group, I would think, to some extent.
If I'm Mark Davis, I'd stand up and say, listen, I'm not really interested right now in going back to this New England well because of what happened. That's just me. Like, you know, you told me, everybody told me this guy could be a head coach. Josh McDaniels, all he needed was another opportunity, you know. And we hired him, and we hired a general manager. We fired them both after a year. No, I'm not.
Well,
I know
Dion has said that he likes Antonio Pierce a lot, and that is one of the places where Shedeur, he would be okay. If the Raiders were to take him, he's already been saying, hey, I'm going to be behind closed doors, kind of. Mm-hmm. If I don't like a spot, I'm going to let them know that, and I'm going to talk to him about that. But this seems to be a spot he'd be okay, and Antonio Pierce, he's checking off.
It's a developmental roster without a quarterback. If the players love him, if morale is good, you keep going in that direction. You have issues with, you know, your personnel. You know, before that's addressed, I'm not really looking at turning the thing over, right? As long as I'm confident that he's teaching the right techniques, you know, our young guys are coming along well, we'll find a quarterback. We don't need more disruption in our coaching staff right now as a developing organization.
Let's be honest. He's the fourth best coach in that division. You better upgrade over there. You got Harbaugh in that division, Andy Reid in that division,
and Sean
Payton in that division.
I mean, the culture of losing has sunk in so hard. I think morale is good under Antonio Pierce.
Yeah, morale, yeah, okay. At least we're not hearing about him in the police report every week.
Yeah, it's just one season, though. You know, I just feel like
the guy
deserves an opportunity.
I absolutely agree. You know, I absolutely agree.
It's he doesn't have a quarterback. He's going with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah.
Let him draft a guy. Is he able? If he's not, then all right.
See, the problem is, though, the coordinator thing.
And I hear that.
The coordinator thing.
That's huge.
To me, you draft a guy, and this guy, we lose a year because our coordinators suck.
Isn't the real thing, though, just the ownership group and the culture of losing and not being able to draft better?
I wish I got to work there. Seriously?
They drafted terribly. Mike Mayock had some really bad drafts.
I mean, they took all those picks from Chicago and just, woo, just kind of, you know, did nothing.
Hmm. Their first rounders were I don't think
Gruden had a hand in that too.
Are even with the team when you go back in their last 5 years and see who their first round picks are. Yeah. That's going to set you back as an organization.
Sir. It will.
Doug Peterson, bye bye.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
Sorry, Doug. I mean, hey,
this one's interesting. Jerod Mayo, because I can make the same argument for him with Antonio Pierce. It's year one. Does he deserve some more time? Think, you got a rookie quarterback.
I think they're giving him more time.
Oh, definitely giving him more time.
I think so, too.
They don't want to look bad. Ownership doesn't want to look bad running Bill out of the door to get to this guy. Got to give him some more time.
And then what about the team you're playing this week in the Bengals with Zach Taylor?
Well, I mean, he has Burrow playing great. He's an offensive guy. You've been to the Super Bowl.
The defense is just really the shortcoming with the team right now.
It's a franchise that never pays free agents. So if they're not drafting their balls off on defense, if they have a couple of injuries, they're done.
But that coach on defense, man, remember the games they won at Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl?
He's got their number.
Yep. I mean, he's kind of figured some things out. This year they haven't been very good.
But
really bad.
I'll tell you what, I'll take that Zach. I'll take him as an OC if he gets let go.
Yeah, he's a McVay guy.
I would take him.
Absolutely. I would as well. Last one would be Callahan, Brian Callahan with the Titans.
Let him
also,
go.
Also, you got to give him some.
Got a new stadium next year. Let him go.
Oh, okay. So that's a one and done.
All right. We are live in Mesquite right off of 635 here at Shell Shack. Would love to have you swing on by. We'll fellowship, maybe crack some coldies, have some delicious shellfish, one kind or another.
How about meeting Polo? I didn't know if you guys said about that.
I know,
that's crazy.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Polo!
Polo! Yeah, he came on by, and it's time now for the G-Bag of the Day. Into the Pimp Cup we go.
Here's Lizard. Big Lizard coming. All right, our winner so far of G-Bag of the Day comes from the Michigan-Ohio State game. My guy, Gus Johnson. I see the timeline. Y'all don't like him. That's all right, though. It's all gravy, baby. Gus Johnson, he got lost in the sauce right here. It's a goal line interception by Ohio State, and he lost his whole voice. Lost his sauce, too.
Warren looking, and it's intercepted at the goal line. Unbelievable. Yeah. Wow, Jack Sawyer.
It's intercepted at the goal line. Unbelievable.
So good.
Warren looking, and it's intercepted at the goal line. Unbelievable.
At the goal line.
Wow, Jack Sawyer. Wow.
Kind of like a young Harry Carey there for a minute. Yeah.
Get that man a throat lozenger. Help that brother out, man.
Yeah.
Help him out. All right, let's see what we got here for you boys on a Tuesday, a Toxic Tuesday. Let's go to the RJ and Choppy show. Which one of these fools is Chomp? Now, I had this before the Thanksgiving break, so I'm going to go ahead and let it go because it's been sitting in the folder for a second. This is from Crosstalk with KMC. Kevin goes really, really, really dark to make a point about the Cowboys coaching and everything.
I do not believe the Cowboys would have traded Tyreek Hill for a couple of first-round picks.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And that is just a fundamental, I think, roadblock the Cowboys. Like, Jerry, they are enamored. They don't like trading away good players.
Do you like it that Mike McCarthy's kid never went out and almost killed some little girl and permanently injured her? So that's nice.
Yeah, that's a good part of their organizational structure.
Yeah.
Our fans aren't creating chemist concoctions and killing their neighbors.
He's talking about like
the Chiefs. Are you talking about Britt?
Yeah, the Chiefs really do skate on a whole lot of things because they win Super Bowls.
But what the hell does that have to do with it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just talking about everybody has their own warts. Kansas City does not have a healthy organizational structure. We talk about
I'm talking about team building. All that other stuff, I don't care about all that. I mean, I care, but I don't care. Like, I'm talking about.
Do you
team
think that
building.
Little girl's family cares?
Kevin, come on, man.
I just have that.
Wow, Hagee.
Oh man,
incredible. Did he get into those Delta 9s that American Shaman dropped off?
Yeah, he got dark right there.
Oh.
Some of those chocolates.
Shout out to my man Choppy. He says, hey, what the hell has that got to do with anything?
His reaction was priceless.
The hell? Hold on, I got to hear Chop. One more Chop.
What the hell does that have to do with it?
Yes. What the hell?
My man Chop. All right, let's see what else we got for you boys. NBA TV pregame. I'll save that for later because you guys are out of studio. I don't know if you'll hear it the same way. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. How about this one? This is not one, but Charles Barkley taking shots at San Antonio again. I just want to put you on alert.
The third.
Winner.
You know really, look at this thing.
Check.
Check. You know what's weird about Wemby? He's like the only person in San Antonio can't gain weight. Who are you talking about,
Chuckster?
I don't understand why this is the only skinny person in San Antonio.
Damn. Wow. San Antonio, stand up.
Always.
It's just like Compton, fool. Let's see what else we got for
you. It's so surprising that he's a fat shamer, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they used to always talk about him. Oh, like, after the age of about 26, it was like, get Charles on the exercise bike.
Oh, you know? My gosh.
He probably played 30 pounds overweight.
Shoot, man, I got some good audio of Charles Barkley. Some guy called him a fat ass. Oh, last year, and he was like, wait a minute, hold on, before we even go to break, hold on, let me see what you look like. And the dude had him a belly. Charles got the rolling. I know your fat ass ain't gonna call me fat. Hold on, we ain't going no break. I was like, go ahead, Charles. I got it somewhere in here, but I don't know where it's at. It's probably in the LA Live folder.
He's like Cartman, he's just big boned.
Big boned, long structured. See what else? Jerry Jones was talking about the mascot Rowdy.
Yes.
And the Rowdy van was found at the strip club one time before.
It was. It was. Yes.
Why am I just now finding out about this?
Oh, Lucius, you didn't know about this?
I did not know the Rowdy van was at the strip club.
Hey, my guy Rowdy. Yeah, the van was there quite a bit. He was at the club quite a bit.
Man, you can't be in them wrapped company cars. Yeah. You just can't do it, dog.
He was right up by the door.
You just can't do it, man.
The Rowdy I met was wild. Like, was this the dude 10 years ago?
Yes.
Okay,
Yeah.
He was fun to party with.
He was fun to party with.
Yeah, one of my first situations with K104, we used to ride around in the street and broadcast. We had the Marty in the back of the truck. And the dude used to be like driving me like, hey, man, let's stop at my girlfriend's house real quick. I'm like, Dad, we got this station vehicle we parked over here in the hood. What we doing, bro? We've been here for 45 minutes. I've been sitting in this car lying to talk about we had Church's Chicken. Stop playing with me. All right, let's see here. Jerry Jones' story about Rowdy and the Rowdy van.
We're back in Dallas. And the Rowdy van, a Rowdy wagon, is found outside a strip place about 2 in the morning. And, of course, Rowdy basically uses that van for all kinds of birthday parties and all of those kinds of things. And it just is not the place to have it. Well, there it was in the paper, a big shot of the Rowdy van sitting in front of the strip club. So I bring him in. And boy, he comes in, but he doesn't have his Rowdy outfit on. It's the real boy. And I'm saying, now look, I said, this is the twice real I've visited with you about an issue of something like this. And I said, do you understand this is getting old, and I want this stuff to stop. You're just right there on the edge, out of bounds every time I look up. And he looked over at me and he said, Mr. Jones, I'll talk to Rowdy about it. I said, no, not fit on at all. He says, I'll talk to Rowdy about it. I said, son, first of all, I like to have died. Well, how do you not love somebody that can give you that kind of reply?
That's amazing.
That's good.
It's a great story.
What a classic
line. It was the real boy.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Rowdy about it.
Rowdy was a wild fella. He was like,
great
I'll talk to Rowdy about it, sir.
Great stories with that guy.
It was out there outside the strip place.
Yeah. It's not the place to park it.
Is it Jerry Jones on Rowdy and the tail of the Rowdy wagon?
Yeah.
Is it Charles Schatz at San Antonio? RJ and Choppy crosstalk. What the hell did that have to do with anything? And Gus Johnson, wow, Jack Sawyer. Man.
It's a good one today.
This is one of the
toughest. They're all good, but this is a good one today.
I'll go with Jerry.
Chief?
I'll go with the champ.
Lucius?
Hey, hold up.
When I first met you, baby.
Oh, wow.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Baby, you were just sweet 16.
I need a cigarette and a drink.
Yeah, Jim, tell me about it, dog. Boy, that's just the tip of the iceberg, dog.
Yeah,
exactly. Let me go with Jerry. I'm right with Jerry.
Righty. Well, Chuck?
I'll go Jerry as well.
Yeah, I'll go with Jerry as well.
It's so sweet.
It's hilarious. I think he's probably the most winner, you know, if you were counting quantity of dubs.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones just owned great this G-bag over the years.
Yep.
Okay, when we return, Eric Chiafalo has a College Football Tuesday. What's in store for us, Chief?
Yes, sir. The best TD celebration of the college football weekend. And this coach is a Bleep Hole of the Week nominee. Right here.
Thank you very much, Lucius. We are live at Shell Shack in Mesquite. Home game for me. I live just 5 miles from here. We'd love to see you. A fellowship, get something delicious to eat and drink. Our buddy from Tolbert Garage Door, Colby, is in the house with a buddy of his.
Woo!
Having a great time. Salute to Tolbert Garage Door, everything they
TCU
do for us.
TCU legend Sky Dawson over here. Let's
yeah,
go.
Sir, yeah, right.
What's up? Shout to Mesquite Poteet.
One-time fastest man in Texas.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, it's time now for a college football darty. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. We have a Bleep Hole of the Week nominee that I should have went ahead and crowned yesterday, but I didn't even realize quite how this game ended until I was watching after the Monday Night Football game last night, little SVP Sports Center.
Yeah.
I love the bad beats.
Yeah.
I mean,
Stanford Steve.
It's like, for me now, I mean, the top 10 is always kind of right there. It's just when it's on, you can't help. Like, you're stopping, you're watching this. And the not top 10.
Yeah.
But the bad beats with these guys after a football weekend is like you can't believe some of the crap that you see. And one of the games that they had was the Penn State and Maryland game. And Maryland is down 38-7 in the final minute. Like this thing's over. Penn
State
sounds
like a James Franklin situation.
Oh, this is James Franklin leading the league in being a bleep hole. As his team's up 38-7.
Yeah, him and Mike Locksley do not like each other.
Okay, so this was personal.
Well,
this
it became personal after what you're going to tell
Wait,
us
it
about.
Became personal or it was personal coming into the stadium? Because that changes things.
I don't know about anything prior.
I think
he got pissed after this.
Yeah, him and Mike Locksley are not the best of friends.
Okay, so Franklin, head coach of Penn State. Locksley, head coach of Maryland. Maryland's getting pummeled at the end of the game. It's 38-7. They throw an interception.
Yeah.
This is pretty much you've intercepted the ball. There's a minute left. You're up by 20-plus points, 30-plus points, excuse me, and the game's over. You can just go ahead and take the knee and be done.
Yeah.
But they are in Maryland territory, and so they start throwing the ball. They run it. They run a couple times, and then they start throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, with 4 seconds left, they have an incompletion, and it's like, dude, this game is over. Why are we still doing this? And with 4 seconds left, they snap the ball, drop back to pass, touchdown, and win the game by even more. And that, I believe, took the over-under to a place that made it very, very frustrating for some of the people that had the under, but super frustrating for Maryland. I don't know that I can remember one that was as egregious where you're up 38-7 with 4 seconds left and you're still wanting to throw the ball into the end zone to win by even more. The style points, I guess in college football you can always like point to that to some extent of like, hey dude, we're trying to look as good as possible here. But I just thought that was as bleep hole of a move as it gets from James Franklin. And then he started defending it too.
Yeah, so post game, right. That was the defense. It's now the college football playoff. We're trying to get the best seed possible. Point differential, something the committee looks at. My job, he says, as a coach, is I got to put my threes and fours out there. I did that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell those guys who don't get to play that they can't go out there and play football. Mm-hmm. They did. You go stop them. So that was his justification. Mm-hmm. I guess that kind of does make some sense, but I do feel like this is take a knee and let's just end the damn football game here, coach.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it is funny. It is a little bit funny, but it's also just extremely.
James Franklin had better find a way to win a game against a ranked team.
Right, dude. It's like.
Against a ranked team.
He's got a chance in the Big Ten Championship against Oregon.
No, but we'll doesn't, though, you know.
I don't think he does either.
He won't be able to, get it done. The coolest celebration, though, from the college football weekend actually came from a surprise entry. It was a wide receiver from East Carolina.
The Mighty Pirates.
He scores the touchdown late in the game, and then the defender that he scored on is like 5 yards away from him in the end zone, and the receiver like starts taking the ball between his legs real fast, like he's kind of dribbling a basketball, and then he stepped back and shoots the jumper right at the defender that he just torched into the end zone, and the defender actually catches the ball, and then he slams it because he was upset, but like his natural reaction was just to catch the ball, but it was just so funny, like I just scored on you, and now I'm doing a mimic basketball step back move, and he shoots the football. into the defender's arms, and the defender catches the ball after he just got totally embarrassed.
Disrespect.
Like, top-tier celebration and disrespect. I was surprised we didn't have our 10th brawl of the college football weekend after that, because that's one of those where, wow, dude, you're really putting some extra disrespect on this. You just scored on me, and now you're celebrating, and you're making a mockery of me. But it was pretty great. I mean, the savagery in college football is no joke. I am concerned for R.J. Choppy and the Tennessee football Volunteers after the man that we talked about last week promised that he would put the Florida Gators head coach Billy Napier's face on his ass cheek if Florida beat LSU, Ole Miss, and FSU all on the road this season, which, of course, just happened
they just
beat FSU. They go 3-for-3, and now this dude has deleted everything, and he's running away from his problems, and now they're going to end up like FS Poo, which is cursed until they get this thing figured out. And that's a bad place to be. You hate to do that to a program, but you could solve the problem very quickly. This is not even close to as bad as the FS Poo guy.
No, you don't have to eat poo.
No.
It's easy.
And I don't think he never qualified how big the Napier face had to be on his ass. Like, you can go in there and make it like the size of a quarter. Like, hey, see the way George Washington's face is on this here dime or whatever. Just puts that size of Billy Napier's face on my cheek. Boom, problem solved, and my program's not cursed forever.
You can even do it on the bottom where it kind of meets your leg, and as you get older, it'll just sag down. Nobody will see it.
Oh, right there on that crease. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Right
where the leg and cheek meet.
Yeah. As long as you don't wear those shorts that the gals are wearing these days, you're good.
Is there any chance you can buy your way out of this? And I say this, and I'm giving you money to do it for me, to beat the curse. I'm paying you to have the Billy Napier tattoo.
Like, he pays somebody else?
I think the
does that kind of make everything whole?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know from the standpoint.
I'm buying the tattoo for you.
I'm giving you
$1,000.
You put your ass on the line. I think everybody in Tennessee fandom could put it on their ass, but if this guy doesn't. They're still in the hole that this guy dug.
I agree. I think the football god's saying it's got to be this individual. You can't pay it off, all right? You got to pay your debt here.
Come on, man.
And Tennessee's probably going to be one and done in the playoff now.
Oh, no question, dude. I will hammer that money
line.
Maybe
they get left out.
Yeah, maybe they get left out. Even worse.
Entirely, that the committee's like, look, this guy, he screwed you.
Man.
And not the good kind.
Fans, just be smarter. Let that be a lesson to you. At least, you know, shout out to the K-State fan who did the burrito boofing, and he actually came through with it. And look, K-State, they come out on the other side. They're fine. They're still themselves, you know? Like, they haven't just completely bottomed out in an embarrassing FSU type of way.
No.
But that's what's on the horizon. That's what's lurking around the corner here for Tennessee Volunteers. So, R.J. Choppy, you might need to pick up the phone, dude.
I'll give you $10 right now if you could tell me whose face is on a dime.
That's a pretty pointed question.
Because you didn't get it right.
I didn't get it right.
You didn't get it right.
No.
So I was curious. Just to
George, is Lincoln on the
penny?
Lincoln's on the penny. Washington's on the nickel. And
Jefferson.
Hoover is on the. Lyndon B is on the old
Lyndon B.
The dime.
James Adams. John Adams.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh, Roosevelt. What did I
FDR. Freaking legend.
I had
you just kind of randomly threw it out there, and I said, I got to fact check
this.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember.
I didn't think that.
As I was saying, who's on the quarter?
Probably. I think it's Washington, isn't it?
Okay, so Washington's on the quarter.
Right.
So maybe somebody else's that means on the nickel then. Yeah, I don't know. That's not really my wheelhouse.
Give me Eisenhower.
That's on me. I just thought
you just kind of rambled through that.
I did.
And I'm like, I don't think that's right.
I tried to move away from it as quickly as possible.
I think you nailed it. Screw you, Brian.
And then, of course, we have a Heisman off situation going on right now. Travis Hunter, he just had an awesome game. He's catching passes and he's intercepting passes. They just embarrass Oklahoma State. So he adds to his Heisman resume, but also so does Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
And so Deion Sanders is like, hey, this is clinched. This is Travis Hunter's award. It's over and done with. And their coach, I kind of liked what their coach said, even though it doesn't make all the sense in the world. Boise State is actually going to be in a championship game, and Colorado cannot say the same. And so the Boise State head coach said, I think if you're a great player, then you're playing in a championship game. And he's like, my guy is, your guy's not. And so that's his sort of defense there. But Jeanty versus Hunter is going to be quite the conversation over the next few weeks.
George Washington on the quarter.
Washington on the quarter. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Quarter size, Washington, Napier face, ass cheek, boom, boom. You rip the Band-Aid off, you're done. Program's not cursed. I mean, gosh dang it, have some couth. I don't know about the whole championship scoreboarding thing, you know. I think it's obviously a team game. I saw Paul George and Damian Lillard last night on Instagram going back and forth. Because Damian says something, and Paul says, you still don't have a ring. And Damian said, I know podcast P ain't talking. So I was waiting for the update on that, you know.
Did he spell it P-E-E when he did it?
Should have. Maybe we'll have the next NBA diss track coming out.
He's more of the poo guy, though, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Okay, we got an NFL News of the Day segment coming up, Wolchuk. What do you say?
Paul George is a poo guy. What do you mean by that?
I'll tell you after the break. All right, more history made Monday night. Randy Moss addressing himself, and the NFL VP is ripping Al Shaair. That's next in the nation.